Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live, on the Fight Mixer Show.
Perfect.
What's up, Wednesday? Hi, guys. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. I got my girl Allie here. We have an awesome show for you tonight. What's up, David? Let's go. We got Evan Elder here, one of my favorite fighters.
What's up,
fighter, a friend, nicest guy in MMA. He's the fighter you should know. Evan, what's up? How are you?
I'm great. You know, just living the life. Everything's a great day.
Yeah. Are you? You're down in Florida, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I just got back from training. I had to hurry home and get showered up and everything.
You got them long days going on. You doing 2 days? And
yeah, today, a lot of time, a couple days away, Monday, Wednesday, Friday right now are like 3 days kind of. Had wrestling practice this morning and then strength conditioning and then right into that. But it was good. All, you know, as much training as I can get in, the better.
Nice. Well, welcome. So Evan here is one of my favorite fighters. He's a great guy. A lot of people here call him a new breed of MMA. He's Evan, the Phenom Elder, for good reason. He has been gone for a while. He's now down at Sanford, but he's originally from, you're from Hillsboro, Missouri, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So you're a good old country boy.
Yep.
Allie's out there in the country, kind of, but you got
Oh, straight up country.
Out in the sticks.
I think that's where the new breed comes from, where the better fighters come from.
The corn-fed ones.
We don't have nothing else to do but beat each other up.
Did you say the cornbread ones?
No, the corn-fed ones. Like, that's everyone cool. I was always worked at a hog barn at some point.
Boxing corn and shit. Yeah. That's so scary. I had cornfields right behind my house, but yeah.
I think a lot of that comes from, man, there's a lot of hard work to do out in the freaking country, man. So I think that is just something that kind of gets instilled in you, is just, you know, waking up early in the morning, getting right to work and working till the sun goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing. That's what off days conditioning, just wrestling styles around.
Oh yeah. That's what the good old boys and the mud wrestling and the truck pulls is for, at least for where I come from. We had rabbits and sheep run around our house parties. So, and yeah, the truck parties were always at the back of a logging farm, and we tie up our pickup trucks and we pull them as best we can, and some good stuff. Disciplined, good old country kids.
Mm-hmm.
Thrown dirty, but well, I'm super happy to have you here, Evan. I've told Allie lots about you. I've been explaining a lot of people too about you, and we're going over your stats. We're really impressive. So you are a first round finisher so far in your pro career. You the only loss, unless I'm mistaken, I could be wrong. I hope I'm not. But the only loss you have, at least in your amateur career, was from Luis Pena.
Yep.
Okay. And that was literally, you had that first round in those last two fights. But Luis Pena is now gone to the UFC. Tell us about that one fight that you had going. That's your only loss, and that's pretty impressive to now go from your amateur career, that's your only guy, then you have three first round finishes, unless I'm not miscounting here, and your last LFL was then a win, right?
Yeah, but it did. It went to decision, so that was my first time out of the first round since I went pro.
Yes. So how was the one loss you've had?
Honestly, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. So I was, I was lucky enough that it was my third amateur fight. So it was early in my career. I was fairly young. I had literally just turned 19 the week before. And so on my birthday, this is where everything went wrong. On my birthday, well, there was a lot more stuff, but on my birthday, I freaking pigged out because I was undisciplined and a freaking child still.
Wait, was it after weigh-ins?
No, it was before. It was My birthday was 6 days before weigh-ins, I think. And everybody was bringing me candy and cake and whatnot because that's what everybody knew me for. I would, like, loved candy and soda, and I ate terrible. I don't know how I even trained back in the day. I've totally scratched all that, and my diet's completely better now, I promise. But anyways, freaking pigged out on a bunch of candy and whatnot. And then I freaked out and started trying to run it all off. And anyways, I had a freaking terrible weight cut. I cut like 13 pounds of water the day of weigh-ins and the night before and going into the day of weigh-ins, which is even worse. But that, and, you know, I got really lucky that I ended up fighting Luis Pena, and he's, you know, a very credible fighter and very talented. So, you know, I actually lost to somebody that was very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, honestly, in my opinion, it was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because after that, I actually moved camps. I moved from Missouri out to California just to get different training, different looks, better training, because my first 5 years of training was all at the same gym. You know, that's all I've ever known. So
you're at Hans at that moment, too, right?
Yeah, I spent the first 5 years of my career, you know, training there. And, you know, it was a really big, you know, where I my base, you know, my fundamentals, my foundation of my training. So spent my first 5 years there, moved out to California after that, you know, started working with a strength and conditioning coach and nutritionist. Really just kind of opened my eyes, like, hey, man, you really got to kind of step up your game. There's a lot better people out there than what you've been fighting and training with. So, you know, I of course, nobody likes losing, but unfortunately, we learn way more from our losses, you know, so it was probably the best thing that could ever happen to me. Unfortunately, I haven't suffered any more losses since then. But like I said, it was actually a great thing. So,
and that's where I asked you, because that's a pretty, I think, incredible accomplishment to go through your amateur career, have your one loss, and that one loss is a dude that is someone that is going to show you. Oh, I'm in slow motion, I think. That one loss gave you the adversity and you overcame it. You learned from it. And that guy, I think, looks good on you, if anything, for that one loss, that now he's moved on to the UFC. It wasn't just some Joe Blow out the countryside. I mean, you lost to a very talented and upcoming still fighter in the UFC.
Yeah, exactly. I was, I'm very lucky that, you know, it didn't end up being Luis Pena, and, he's a great dude too, and I'm really happy to see him doing well. And I want to see everybody succeed, you know. So I'm, you know, like I said, I want to see everybody succeed. So you know, I'm happy that he's doing well, but it also does definitely kind of make it a little bit better on my part that he is so credible and is doing well, that I didn't just lose to kind of a nobody, you know, per se.
I think that's kind of a thing, being a fighter, somebody who has beat you. You kind of like want to see them succeed, like, oh yeah, I got beat by someone who's a badass. So you also don't want to see him lose after that either.
Yeah, exactly. That way you're not beaten up by, you know, getting beat by somebody that's getting beat by everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, if you lose to that dude, and then it's almost like in wrestling, you know, if you got beat by the dude that goes on and wins the tournament, you're like, ah, well, that kind of makes sense. He beat everybody else too. So still, like I was saying, nobody likes to lose. And I don't think that really makes it any better. In my opinion, it doesn't, because if I lost at all, it, you know, there's no excuses for it. So, but it definitely is, you know, it makes it a little better that you lose to a credible opponent instead of just going out there and getting freaking steamrolled by somebody that's not, you know, not that great.
Mm-hmm. So if you met him again, would you fight him?
You know, I don't ever really have any problems. Like I've fought dudes that I've known and like been pretty cool with. The first person that comes to mind when I think of that is Colin Parr. You know, I'm pretty good friends with Colin, and you know, we were super cool leading up to the fight and everything. And then, you know, it's just business whenever we get in the cage. And you know, we can be friends before and after, but you know, as soon as that cage door closes, I'm sorry, but you know, you're in the way of my dreams and my goals and everything I've been working for. So in those 15 to 25 minutes, you know, it's we're going to war. But yeah, you know, if the if the opportunity's there, you know, that'd be cool. It'd be, you know, just something, you know, I'm sure it'd be a good build up for the fight. You know, we fought as amateurs. It was my only loss, whatever. But no, it's not like I have any hostility towards him. You know, it's not like I want that matchup. It's just, you know, if it happened, that'd be cool.
I apologize to anyone at home. I don't know if it's my side that I do have connection issues. So if we're freezing up, it looks like we're good again. So unless you guys just want to stare at Evan's pretty face, just like stuck on Evan.
I don't know about that.
I think your fan base would be happy. Debbie said hi. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
I know it's definitely a different element when you actually know your opponent going in versus if it's a stranger and how mentally you kind of prepare yourself for it.
Yeah, I mean, it I don't know. It definitely, it almost kind of seems like, I feel like it almost kind of lightens the mood a little bit, potentially. But like I said, you know, it's, I speaking for myself and I'm sure for most fighters, but, you know, especially it's almost like, you know, it always kind of feels like a freaking, like a, the, everything's kind of closing in on you. Once you
yeah,
the fight, you just get so, dialed in and in the zone that it doesn't, you really don't care who you're fighting. By the time you walk out, you know, you're in the back and you're warming up and it's everything's starting to kind of slowly come in. And then by the time you get to freaking walking out, it seems like you're just almost tunnel vision. And by the time you're up in the cage, you're freaking right here. It's just, you're just locked in. So at that point, I don't think it really even matters who's standing across the cage from you, whether it's your best friend or somebody you don't even know, you know, it's go time.
I think that's one thing a lot of people won't get experience is that adrenaline rush. And like you said, that close in, we're just like, everything is focused in. Like you don't even see anybody like farther than 10 feet away and just so focused and sounds everything. You can only hear certain people and everything is just so intense. And if you are fighting your friend, like once it all sets in, you forget that's your friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a pretty unbelievable feeling. And I think that's where experience definitely comes into play. But, you know, that's what I think makes a better fighter. Because in the gym, honestly, like we all learn, you know, to a certain degree. We all learn the same techniques. We're all doing the same stuff. We're training the same things. But it's really who's able to perform the best when it comes down to really, you know, it being go time. When it's time to compete, who's able to get in the zone, who's done their mental training and is able to stay very conscious. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, me being one of them, that I've had plenty of fights where I went out there and it was like my mind was just erased. I was just blank. I was just freaking reacting, you know, instead of being super conscious, super relaxed and thinking, you know, cause that's what it is. I love now. I try to just always outthink everybody, you know. It's like, you know, whenever I do something, I'm trying to think about what he's thinking that I'm thinking. You know, so it's just you hear it all the time. It's a physical chess match. So you always got to be trying to think. It's a thinking man's game, very physical thinking game.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for joining us.
What up, Dad?
So, and speaking of like your mentality, I was actually listening to a couple of your other previous interviews. I think you had previous in the year. And you talk about that mental state that you have to go into. You are a positive person. If anyone meets you in private, you are. And even Allie was asking, like, what's his demeanor? I'm like, he's a positive person. Like, he's just easygoing. Like, it's like I would honestly, to describe you, I would feel bad to say a swear word because I feel like you're a pure soul. And that's so, like, I don't know if I'm being cheesy, but I promise you, anyone in St. Louis, if you met any of your fan base, you know you have some amazing fans. If you're go to one of the cage matches here and you see Evan fight, they go nuts for Evan. But I don't think it's just because of the way you fight. It's because of your personality and you're just a positive person. I don't think I've ever seen you be a negative person. You don't come in a negative state. I'm sure I've seen you possibly upset at some point, but I would have not noticed it. Is there anything – what's up, Logan? Is there anything you do to stay in that state? Were you always like that, or is that something you pull out from the fighting?
You know, I think that's something, I relate everything back to fighting, just because it's such a huge part of my life. But I think that, you know, I feel like there's so many things in life that are so true, across the board. You know, you can apply so many things, you know, just the, like the characteristics and the, you know, the attributes that I acquire from fighting, you know, I can apply them to anywhere in life. So I think that, you know, your mind is just like any other muscle. You know, you can't expect to go and freaking start curling a bunch of weight if you haven't been, you know, curling weight previously. You know, you have to practice that. And then same thing with like doing a certain technique. You know, I'm not gonna be able to go out there and just throw a beautiful, you know, tornado kick and land it if I haven't been practicing that over and over and over again. So your mindset's kind of the same way. It's like something that you know, you gotta practice being positive all the time. And just like anything else, though, you know, of course we'll slip up. You know, I've thrown 1,000 rear leg roundhouse kicks, and I'm sure that I'll still mess up. And I know I do. I still mess up for sure. I got a long way to go on them. But I still mess up and slip up and, you know, don't do it right every single time, even though I've done it over and over and over and over and over again. It's just one of those things that you got to, it's just a constant work in progress, you know. But I really think that your mindset's something that people kind of look over. It's like something you expect that should kind of already be there, and it's definitely not. That's something that there's, I think, more than anything, that's the most important thing to train, whether it be just in life or for sports or anything you do. You know, your attitude and your mindset's absolutely everything. So, you know, I feel like I've generally almost always, especially since I've started training, before, you know, whenever I was a lot younger, I'm sure I had some anger problems. And MMA has just been such a good outlet. And but you know, now more than anything, my thinking process just for life and everything is just so much different. And I really try to be a positive influence in the world, because I think there's a lot more important, although I love fighting more than anything, there's a lot more important things in life than sports and fighting. And I think we're here for a lot bigger reason. So, other than, you know, being the best martial artist I can be, I think it's much more important for me to be the best person I can be. So I try to do that by leading by example and try to stay as positive as possible.
And not only is your personality impressive, but I didn't talk about this, and I actually didn't tell Allie this, or the guys at Fight Mixer, but you come off some pretty devastating injury. And I think, I remember being at the gym, I was actually at Finney's when I found out that you had your jaw broken. And that was what, down in Florida, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you had it. So they were, I believe, as far as I know, they were grappling. Someone's heel came up, and that heel directly hit you in the chin. It is a split down the middle.
Yep.
Your chin, and then now you have a metal plate in there. And then on top of that, after your comeback, your fight in January here, where I saw you at Shamrock, I was at that fight, and you won, but you had a broken hand. So how was it coming off of those injuries?
You know, I'm
physically.
I'm a very firm believer that everything happens for a reason. So even if, you know, it's hard to understand or see, you know, find that reason at the time, I always try to at least choose to believe that everything happens for a reason. So, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. So once you get past that injury or whatever that hardship is that you're going through, it's easier to look back and be like, wow, you know, there was a lot of positives that I took away from that. But, you know, I really think me breaking my jaw. So first off, it was a really fluke accident. You know, it was just, we were training, it was wrestling practice. I had just stood up. Somebody had just taken me down. I was standing up. Somebody almost ran into me. So I jumped out of the way. And when I jumped out of the way, I jumped in between two groups. And as I did that, coach seen it and was like, hey, whoever's out, watch our groups. Make sure we're not running into each other, guys. And so I was trying to get out of the way of those two groups. And at that time, he was saying that. I was like, oh, I should get in between them, make sure they don't run into each other. And as soon as I did, somebody got hip tossed and his foot was flying in the air. And as I went to turn around, his foot hit me in the face. And his heel did. And yeah, it split my jaw right in half. Whenever I was kind of trying to sit up and stuff, I felt a big gap in my teeth. I thought it knocked out one of my teeth. And I was like, oh, my God, it knocked out my tooth. And I stood up and I was like, yo, Sean, did this knock out my tooth? And he was like, no, dude, your jaw. And I was like, what? And then I had to run off the mat because I was, like, leaking blood everywhere. But, you know, I really I took away a lot of good from that injury. You know, it's just like anything else. You know, it forces you to adapt and overcome, you know, and work on different things. I was right back to training a week or two afterwards. I think a week after surgery, I was back to like lifting weights. I couldn't go crazy because like kind of like bouncing up and down in my stance was kind of like bounce my jaw a little bit too much, so I couldn't quite do that. But if I stood still and didn't like bite down, I could, you know, work out and stuff. So, but more than anything, what it really did for me was it showed me that, like, whenever that happened, I was really worried. Like, I was like, man, that's such a severe injury, it seemed like. And I was really worried about it kind of like affecting my career. And then I got to kind of see that, you know, everything's going to be all right. You know, no matter what happens, everything's gonna be okay. So it gave me a lot more confidence, like, when I'm fighting, like, don't be so worried. You know, it's just like, again, you know, I'm speaking in terms of fighting, but, you know, you can apply this to life. Don't be worried about taking risks. Don't be worried about getting hurt or, you know, burned on your wrist that you take, because no matter what, you know, everything's always going to work out and you're going to find a way around it and get through it. So now I overcame that, and, you know, it's just a little bump in the road. And honestly, I don't even think it was a bump in the road. It was just the path I was supposed to be on, because I took away a lot of good from it and leveled up a lot mentally.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, because I know Karen also had a major injury from training. Do you guys ever get hurt or, like, instantly go in that, like, wallow pit of, my fight career is over. I can't do it again.
I emailed Evan after my injury, and I was like, how is it? Because he had a face break, and mine was nowhere near as severe as that, but I had my orbital bone broken.
Oh, it was
weird. It looked gnarly, Karen. Broken,
and I lost feeling. It's weird to see myself on the screen because it's backwards. But I lost feeling from my nose, my eye, all the way down to my three front teeth right here and up. So I lost all the feeling there and have pretty, like, bad grinding issues on my teeth now. So I actually reached out to Evan after that happened, and I'm like, look, like, I was looking for him for some guidance, like, about taking an injury like that, and he actually helped me. And I actually think we talked about, like, are we gonna lose our teeth?
Yeah. But my just like you were saying, actually, funny enough, you said you got grinding problems.
Yeah.
Whenever I broke my jaw, I had to wait like 3 days before I could fly home. So it was just like broken in half for a couple days. So I kept my mouth shut like this the whole time. And if I didn't, my jaw was like literally like hanging. Like it would like fall. Oh. So if I opened my mouth, it would like fall down.
I think everyone at home just cringed.
It's really not as bad as it seems. I mean, it was, like I said, it was rough at the time, but I'm, you know, we're past it and everything's good. So, but I would bite down. I was biting down so much. And then even after I got it fixed, I was like, just used to, I was kind of worried about it. So I'd like be biting, and I find myself doing that a lot now. So I'm still like freaking biting down all the time. I'm like, man, my jaw hurts.
Dude, you have so much nicer teeth than me though. So I'm just happy your face cool, because my
whatever.
I'm not Jack, but I don't like that bunny teeth.
No, you're fine.
But you
need your breastfed.
Yeah. if anyone wants Evan's t-shirts, you actually change your shirt because you have the Spartan on the right.
Uh-huh.
You have the break in your shirt now, which is really cool.
Yeah, I actually again, you know, I took away so much good from it. I had this really cool picture, like a 3D x-ray of my whole head whenever I broke my jaw, and that it was a big break. So it was like real prominent, you could see it where it was broken. So I actually I have an amazing tattoo artist, and shout out to Josh Poulin at Hezekiah Customs. He's a freaking man, but he's just an amazing artist, you know. So I always go to him for any time I need something drawn up and whatnot. So I actually sent him this. I was like, hey, do you think you can come up with a design for this? I think this is really cool. I'd love to put it on a shirt. So he ended up drawing a Spartan helmet and putting on it. And then, well, you can see the chin sticking out, you know, like the mouth was kind of sticking out, and the jaw was broke. It was really cool. I really liked it.
If anyone gets your t-shirts, they know the backstory. And when you make it up, you know, fire, they know the backstory. I think that's just such a cool thing to incorporate. It's a very personal hurdle that, you know, anyone can just look at like, damn, and he came back from that. So what's going to stop you, you know?
Yeah.
And can I ask you a quick question? I've always been curious about this. Where did the Spartan come from?
You know, I just always been, you know, in my opinion, I kind of feel like we're almost like modern day gladiators, you know, fighting in a cage in front of other people just for entertainment, you know, not anywhere near the same. We have a freaking referee. We're not fighting lions or fighting to the death or with weapons. But, you know, like I said, modern day, watered down gladiators. But anyways, I like to pretend we're gladiators. So, you know, kind of, I kind of, you know, thought of those kind of similar. So the gladiators and the Spartans. So, that's kind of where that originated from.
I definitely had the same thoughts on that too, that fight, like MMA fighters are a lot like gladiators.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we're freaking sometimes, you know, I think this pandemic with having no fans in the crowd, I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, it's like sometimes you forget how brutal it is what we're doing. We're in there to seriously inflict as much damage as possible on the other person.
And you can hear it now with all the.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Cool. It is kind of cool fighting with no fans because it's just like literally 10 seconds into my fight. It cracks me up. 10 seconds into my last fight, every single time I watch it, he hit me with such a hard body kick. It sounded like a shotgun went off. And I was like, oh, shoot. And it cracks me up every single time. But you can hear how loud it was, you know. And it's just like, especially watching the UFC, the dudes at the highest level, you hear these shots and you're just like, oh, my God. And then it shows, too, like how tough the other dude is. It's like, dude, he just ate that. Like it was freaking breakfast, you know, walked right through it. And I've had a lot of people come up to me and be like, dude, I almost didn't realize how brutal fighting was until the no fans. But hey, I'm actually I'm going to take you guys downstairs. I got to go. I forgot. I got food in the oven because I just got back.
We can walk around with you. Everyone, we're going to watch where Evan is.
This is like Cribs. Show us your whole house.
It's nothing.
The girls at home are going to be like, I can hide in that closet.
I just got to get this food out of there for us.
No, that is one thing. I would like the crowd really like makes or breaks you in the fight because sometimes like you can like throw a hit and the crowd just goes wild. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing some damage. Or like you get hit and you hear everybody screaming and then like you're kind of self-confidence like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And then there's no crowd.
This fight definitely, I never truly realized how much I loved the crowd being there. You know, it is cool. It is cool getting to fight with, you know, like we were saying, like no fans, you know, hearing everything, all the hard shots and everything. But I definitely love the hype of the crowd and everything.
Yeah, especially the walkout part. That's I think the most important to get.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I don't really hear them anyways later on. I mean, I hear the coaches, I hear the corner. So I think if anything, you can just listen to their coaching as you go on during the fight. Where's Dustin?
You were the only girl I've seen that danced on a walkout.
Is Scrappy there, Evan?
Yeah, he's downstairs. You want to say what's up?
Say hi to him. Tell him my boyfriend says hi.
I'm going back down.
Dustin Lampros Scrappy is in the building, apparently, guys. Where's are you guys all? Are you living together too with like Michael Chandler and them or Vitor?
No. We have another roommate. Joe Cap's the man.
What's up, Scrappy? Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you guys doing?
Good, how are you? We're just letting you take a little bit of Evan's limelight. The girls are going too crazy. We had to calm them down.
Yeah, right, whatever.
Plug out his Facebook.
What's up?
Plug out his Facebook so everyone can find you.
Guys, I'm down to get you on the show too, Scrappy. So this is just a little hint, but Evan, you can be on and you can even interview him. Ooh, see, you already got girls woohooing at you.
All right, yeah, but I don't want to steal Evan's time.
No, it's all good.
I didn't even hear. Oscar was like, "Yeah, you got Scrappy on there."
Nah, Scrappy, Scrappy's my dude. He's the one that really helped me out get down here. And
he went down there first, right?
Oh yeah, he's been down here for a while. He's been down here for a long time, and he actually moved back home to Southern Illinois for a little while.
Yeah.
And that's how we ended up meeting was he lived in Southern Illinois and I was in Hillsboro, Missouri, and we trained at Finney's that was kind of in between us. We live like 2 hours away from each other, actually. But we trained at Finney's, which was in between us. And we trained together there for about a year. And he moved back down here, started going to Hard Knocks, and was like the first day he said he walked in and was like, dude. He called me and was like, dude, you got to get down here. It's the best gym in the world, especially for you, you know, talking about me because all the guys that are my weight class, you know, this is.
Yeah.
So not too long after that, actually, he had a fight coming up. So he came back home and fought and I packed up my car and we just drove back down there together and I stayed on his couch until I found a spot. I ended up, it wasn't a Craigslist. How did I get that? Oh, so one of the guys at the gym recommended a place that he used to stay at. So I went and checked it out. It was way too expensive, but the landlord was like, hey, we have another property. It's a lot less expensive. And so I went and checked it out and it was, you know, doable. So I ended up living in a decent sized house with like five other people that lived there that I didn't know. And, and then I broke my jaw.
Yeah.
Home for 6 months, and then while it healed up, and then I moved back down here, and I've been back since. So it's been good. Scraps helped me out a ton. He's really, really the one that helped me get down here. You know, I, like I said, I'm a firm believer everything happens for a reason. And I really do think that life has a funny way of always kind of getting you where you're supposed to be. So I really, really do believe that I am supposed to be down here with this team. I really believe it's the best gym in the world. And not just the gym, you know, it's just the people, you know, the coaches, the, you know, other than the facility is just like unbelievable, but the coaches and the training partners, the staff, you know, everybody is just such great people. And, you know, I love being here. So I think that even if, you know, for some reason I didn't end up moving back, you know, Scrap calling me, telling me to come down here, I would have, life would have pulled me down here somehow.
Yeah, I think there's I'm a firm believer as far as like you meet people that you don't understand are going to play a bigger part in your life. I think that goes for me and Allie here. I would have never thought I'd be doing this with her a year later after leaving the cage with her. You know, there you are with Scrappy. I don't know if that pulled you along too, Allie. Real quick, I know they're asking what town are you now in Florida that you're training out of?
I'm in Deerfield Beach. I'm in Deerfield Beach, Florida. The Hard Knocks 365 used to be in Fort Lauderdale, and which was about 15 minutes away. And now our new gym, Sanford MMA,
yes,
the new facility is in Deerfield Beach. We live 0.9 miles away from there. It's unbelievable. I'm you know, it's just crazy. I've had too many things in my life just work out, you know, too unbelievably. You know, it's just like, I don't know. It's crazy the way things work in life. Everything happens for a reason.
Is it bad that when you guys said Scrappy, I was like, oh my God, he's got a dog.
Oh no.
Let me at him. A little Scrappy dude. No, that's Dustin Lampros. Scrappy. He's the man. He's a beast. He's 5-0 right now. Bantamweight. Unfortunately, because of COVID, you know, he's had a tough time trying to get a fight, so he hasn't fought in a while. So, you know, again, just like that, you know, it sucks, but I think it's actually a good thing. You know, same thing with my jaw and then COVID happening for me. So, not just me. I mean to make that sound like COVID only happened to me. literally a worldwide pandemic. Man, why'd this happen to me? No, you know, it's given us a lot of time to be in the gym training and improving. That way, whenever we do get this call to the next level or we start getting these, you know, higher level fights, you know, we're going to be more than ready for it. Cause, you know, as we move up, man, I mean, everybody's a killer. The sport's so evolved now that, you know, there's so many amazing, unbelievably talented fighters out there. So it's, and like we were just talking about, you know, this pandemic has kind of reminded people like how dangerous the sport is. And, you don't want to get in there unprepared against a freaking killer. So, you know, although he hasn't gotten the chance to fight much in the past year, and same with a lot of people, you know, if you're using your time correctly, it is what it is. And, you know, it'll probably be a good thing in the long run because, you know, you're just getting more and more prepared to step in the cage with those higher level people.
What I have them asking at home, what promotions are you fighting for? I know I just want you to go ahead and say it publicly. And then what also is next after your last fight?
So I was fighting for Shamrock FC. That's actually where I spent probably almost my whole entire career. Almost besides the kickboxing and the boxing and grappling stuff I did before I was 18 and able to do MMA. Even actually a couple fights, I think I had one or two fights, kickboxing matches for Shamrock whenever I was like 17. So other than that, I had one fight when I was out in California, and then I fought for Fight Hard one time when I was an amateur. But other than that, I fought for Shamrock every single fight. So, so I fought at Shamrock for my first three, you know, up until my first three pro wins, or pro fights. And, now I just made a move to, LFA. So I've been, I'm hoping to fight for LFA in the next, you know, couple months, and nothing's set in stone yet. So we'll have to see, but, That's probably what I'm going to continue to do for at least for a little while. And, for the foreseeable future, you know, my current goal right now, I think, is to be LFA champ by the time I'm 24, which is in April. So, hopefully I can stay active and, you know, rack up another 3-4 wins or something. And I think that'll really give me a good shot of, you know, kind of taking that next step up into the UFC.
It was like somebody asked, what's your inspiration before a fight?
Man.
I love those questions.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's got their own little ritual that they do sometimes. It helps like get them in their head game.
Yeah, I, you know, my inspiration, I mean, I got too many, you know, not to be cliche, but just, man, just the fact that we only live once, man. I mean, I just try to do the best that I can every single day of my life, you know, utilize every hour of every day. But really, my true inspiration is all my family and my loved ones, my friends, my supporters. You know, it's just like what I do is so much bigger than me. You know, I have so many people behind me, believing in me, supporting in me, relying on me that, you know, there's just no way I feel like I could ever fail. You know, I was like, I have to win. I can't let everybody down. So, you know, with that being said, these people that are behind me are so amazing that I know that if I do, even if I were to lose or, you know, let them down, they'll be with me always, you know, so I know I'm not going to let them down. But I mean, that's my real inspiration is just, you know, along with just being the best fighter, I want to be the best fighter that I can be. So, you know, like I was saying, the people in my life are really my greatest inspiration. Absolutely.
Do you have any weird pre-fight rituals? I don't know if you've ever seen me behind Shamrock. I'm usually there with some Twinkies.
What? Are you really?
Some chocolate cake. I don't know if it was Scrappy or if it was Stella or someone saw me.
Yeah, you had some freaking cupcakes, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Awesome chocolate cupcakes. I was like, dang, those are good. You weren't eating those before the fight, though.
Yeah, that's me. I'm trying to get a sugar rush. I don't know if someone told me. I think it was Tyson that used to eat donuts right behind. I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat a fight Twinkie.
I mean, you know, everybody's got their own stuff. But
I remember when, like, we were younger and we didn't know what to do to start fights. And, like, the day of fights, half the time, like, you're not in the zone. You do not want to fight somebody. You just want to go home and chill and just have like a relaxed day. So we'd sit there and try and down 5-hour energy drinks like this will help get us pumped.
It's so funny looking back, you know, I was the same way, like you know, especially when I was a little bit younger, like having no idea what to do. I'm sure I still have no idea what to do, what I'm doing, but yeah, I just honestly I don't really have any like anything I do every single time the day of the fight. Like,
are you Texas Roadhouse strong though? After waiters,
dude, that usually, yeah. this last weigh-in was really cool. It was, I ended up getting to weigh in at like 1, I think is when it was like 1 o'clock instead of like 7 or 8, like usual. So I got like an extra 6 or 7 hours to rehydrate and refuel. That's why why I was looking a little thick with a couple C's in the fight. Whenever I got back in the cage, I was like 177 or something like that, 176. So it was quite a bit bigger than I usually am. I actually ended up having to cut a lot more water weight than usual for this fight. A little bit of stuff going on.
Your cardio was on point though.
Thank you. Yeah, it didn't feel like it. You know, not that it didn't feel like it. I felt good. I felt better in the later rounds.
Yeah.
So I think due to one, the nerves, I didn't think that fighting for a different organization would kind of give me some nerves. But I didn't realize how comfortable I was with Shamrock. You know, like I said, I fought my whole entire career there and I had just been so used to the process that, you know, just kind of doing something different was kind of maybe a little nerve wracking. That and really the weight cut, I think, was a big, big factor in it. But I couldn't get – it felt like my legs were just asleep. Like, I couldn't get my freaking legs to wake up. Like, even warming up back in the back, I was like, oh, man, I don't know what's going on with my legs. But I knew what was going on because I'd been there before. I'd had terrible weight cuts and been nervous. So that's exactly what it felt like. You felt like you were standing in cement. But I mean, it just doesn't even matter. I know that even at my worst you know, it doesn't matter how I feel, you know, it's time to go out there and perform. So, the first round was a little bit rough. I think that was the worst round of the fight, but, after that, I felt like my legs woke up. I felt a lot better. And, you know, I'm really just excited to get back in there and fight again, because I know that, like I said, there was a couple things leading up into the fight, the preparation that was a little bit different, a little bit off than compared to usual. I had the great opportunity to go to Connecticut with Michael Chandler and corner him in his fight for Benson Henderson, which was freaking awesome. And definitely don't regret it at all. It was an awesome experience, but I did not get to train the way I had anticipated. It was 3 weeks out from my fight, so I was kind of hoping and thinking that I was going to be able to train really hard. And I did get some good training in for sure while I was there, but it's not the same as being at the gym, you know, but for a whole week as a fair amount of time outside, you know, to be away from the gym at a very your training camp. And then, so we got back and I had about a week and a half before I was leaving to go to, South Dakota for my fight for LFA. And, my weight was pretty high from not getting to train as heavily as I anticipated. And the dieting situation was a little harder and, you know, being in a hotel room and, but you know, no excuses. It was, again, hindsight's always 20/20. So, I ended up having to cut, about 12 pounds of water weight when usually, I like to, you know, diet for a long time out and get super, super lean. That way I don't have to cut much water weight, try not to be too hard on my body. And I usually feel pretty good in the fight. I usually only end up cutting about 5 or 6 pounds of water. But, you know, like I was saying, looking back, I think that all this, you know, small amount of adversity, you know, just stuff not going the way that I expected it to. Again, it just, you know, it makes me a better fighter, you know, a better person, just, you know, getting used to overcoming adversity. Because, I mean, that's the only thing for certain in life is uncertainty, you know, so you got to get used to that and things not going as you plan. So I think it's only, you know, only uphill from here. And I'm really excited to get back in the cage and redo it all, because I know I can do it so much better.
Yeah. Someone was asking about Mike Rodriguez. Did you see the Mike Rodriguez fight where the ref miscalled? Did you think he miscalled that low kick? Or I don't know if you saw, what's that one?
Oh, in UFC? Yeah. I didn't. I watched the end of the fight. I watched right after that nut shot happened. I didn't even see I didn't see the video or the replay of the nut shot or not nut shot, whatever everybody's calling it. But I mean, I guess everybody was saying that, I mean, it was clearly not a nut shot. Like, it was definitely miscalled. But again, I didn't see it, so I can't say for myself. But
do you think guys do that on purpose? Or because there's sometimes where I've seen them do some pretty cheap shots. And for being at that kind of a level, you have accuracy. And you have, I mean, I know there are some guys that just brawl and, you know, don't make.
Yeah, I mean,
damn well.
I don't know. I mean, people forget sometimes, you know, even the best fighters in the world, I mean, it's a fight, you know, so it's things definitely don't go as planned.
Pull their hair, kick them in the nuts.
Yeah. I've seen it go the other way, where the other guy really didn't get nut hit. He's just pretending he did to get 5 minutes to breathe.
That's what everybody's saying. Against- right? There that was everybody saying it happened was
there's that also that shit in the eye pokes. And there, I can't remember what was his name. And he was at, it was at, against Pantera last year, Yadier Rodriguez. And he forgot Yadier shirt. He throws nasty kicks. I don't know if you know who Pantera is. Watch him.
Yeah.
I love him. And he pretended that little eye poke. It was the stupidest eye poke. Pantera was throwing a jab and it was the first round and he pretended that the eye poke was, you know, he couldn't open his eye anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, he was barely, I mean, you could see him like squint trying to close that. And I think people do fake that stuff. Like Ali was saying,
it's really, really hard to tell. Like it is very hard to tell. I mean, you got people like Nick Lentz, the poor dude. He had a fight. Who was it? Arnold Allen, I think is his name. Anyways, he was fighting, took full finger all the way.
Wow, yeah, that.
He's just now getting back to the gym. He trains with us. Awesome dude. He freaking is just now getting back to his to training. He got poked in the eye so bad. I mean, after the fight, I mean, it was like his eye was so red. It was like wrecked bad. And he never stopped fighting. Like, the ref didn't stop it for a second. Like, he just fought right through it like a freaking monster.
I'm not sure if I could be that tough. Finger in the eye.
eye pokes are really, really, really rough. But sometimes it's also hard to distinguish too. Like, you know, sometimes like you get punched in the eye. Getting punched in the eyeball sucks. Like actually getting punched, and that's not illegal, but it feels like you got poked in the eye. So sometimes people will argue that, you know, because I've had it happen, like even like in big gloves. Obviously, nobody poked you in the eye with big gloves because you got no fingers sticking out, but you get punched in the eyeball and you're like, oh my God, I can't see.
There was one fight I had with a girlfriend saying that I poked her eye, but what happened was I went to grab her head and she moved and my thumb like grazed her eye slightly. Like I didn't even put pressure in, and she tried telling the ref that I was trying to poke her eye.
Yeah.
My, I think what, well, the, my one and only MMA fight, Arianne Zechty actually was in my corner for this one. And I remember, I don't know how I lost it, but she punched, I actually, which is really bad to tell people this, but I fought with my contacts and I lost my contact in my short little fight. And amazingly, Arianne Zechty, despite our fight, you know, after I took her down, we did the ground and pound, she got me with a rear naked choke. He still found my contact. I don't know how he found it. Arianne was like
Arianne's the man.
Right back in. It was nasty. I probably got pink eye afterwards, you'd think.
Probably.
Yeah, I bet that cage was not super sanitary.
But yeah. Well, speaking of kicks, so you're known for your striking. You have a great ground game. If anyone hasn't watched your fights yet, please get on and check out his fights. He's an impressive, like, again, they call him, you know, one of the new breeds of MMA. I truly believe that. I think there's a lot of upcoming talent that we have not really zoned in on yet and seen. And Evan here is one that you need to watch out for. In your first fight, I could be wrong again on this one, you had a devastating, you didn't get it, you gave a devastating head kick in your K1, right?
Oh, yeah, like my very first kickboxing match ever.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
I was like 15. It was my very first kickboxing match. That's so funny. Did you watch it? Oh, that's so funny. My dad, he just tagged me in a memory of that today.
Oh, really?
I have a sick picture of me landing this head kick, like flush up against this dude's face. He actually turned into it, and it was like right up his against his jaw. But that was kind of funny that you mentioned that. Yeah, I that was my very first kickboxing match ever whenever I was 15. It's like the first time I actually competed other than wrestling and jiu-jitsu with strikes. So, I can't believe how long it's been and how far we've come and what all has happened on this journey. And I'm super excited for it to keep going and what else it brings, see what else it brings. So
I'm excited to watch you fight. I'm excited to watch
your
kicks. I mean, even when you train, like the gunshot sound, that's real. That's a crazy. Heard it. I think it's extremely impressive. I think we're really excited to see where you go. And I'm super happy to have you and honored on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having
me. Yeah, that's one thing when I was asking Karen about you is that I looked you up a little bit, but I knew I didn't have to stalk you too hard as Karen actually knew you. But it's like, wow, this guy's really impressive. And like, he's going to be on a bunch of, like, people are going to know who he is pretty soon.
Thank you. And your fans. I think your fans are, you know, they're right behind you all the way. And that's not an understatement in any way. Speaking of fans, is there anything you want to give a shout out? Anyone, any person, everyone that you want to give a shout out to, go for it. You want to hear it?
I mean, I always say this, but, you know, anytime anybody always tells me that, you know, it's, I always ask him if he got another hour because I got so many people, too many people to thank and, you know, give props to. But, you know, really, I just want to say, you know, if anybody's watching this, just thank you to everybody because, I mean, I seriously, I just have so many unbelievably amazing people in my life. So thank you to all my friends, my family, my supporters, my sponsors, my teammates, anybody and everybody that's part of my life, man. Cause, you know, you guys are really the driving force behind me and the reason I do everything I do. And, I can't wait to make you guys proud and, or try to continue to make you guys proud. And, I really can't wait to have a lot more, to give back. You know, everybody's always taken care of me and supported me, believed in me. And, I'm really, really excited to, you know, further my career so I can have a lot more to give back to everybody.
Nice. Well, thank you, Evan. It's been an honor. I'm super excited to watch where you go. It's exciting to watch where you come from. Everyone, please go give him some love on Facebook. If he's not already maxed out with all the people that love him in the first place. On Instagram, give him a follow. You know, check out his fights. Give those YouTube views up. Watch them fights. They're really exciting. And watch out for Evan. He is a fighter you should know. I've been telling people that. And it's not an understatement. Again, this is someone that you need to watch out for. So thank you, Evan.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. I had a really good time. Hopefully we can get back on here again sometime soon.
We would love to have you back on. Like I said, maybe you and Destin get on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Get a hold of Scrappy. He's the man. He's really good. He's good at this stuff.
Not a dog.
No, not Scrappy Doo. Not Scrappy Doo from Scooby Doo. Not Scrappy Lampros.
Poor Scrappy.
Well, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great night.
Nice. Yeah, I appreciate having you on.
Enjoy your dinner. I'll
see you guys back soon.
Thank you, Evan. Bye. Nice guys. Thank you,
Devin. That's one thing, like, I might be a little bit biased for the MMA sport, but I feel like MMA has, like, the most in-depth great people as athletes in it.
Oh, yeah. And just even just the stories, or they don't even have to have an amazing story. They can just have that, you know, like I said, that amazing mental state. Evan's an example of that, where it's hard for us to go, I think, through day-to-day challenges. And I think being in a fight community, that just makes you more mentally tough. And it's helped me a lot. That's one of the reasons why I joined it. And it's actually, I've been more relaxed than anything. And I think that's something to really take away, you know, not just talking about their fighting, but, like, you know, they have a mental state that I think most of us would admire and would like to have.
And the level of empathy that a lot of them have is just insane, for the fact that it's just a very physical sport where you inflict a lot of pain on people.
Yeah. And the irony of it.
Mm-hmm.
To be a happy, positive person. I recommend to anyone that has never stepped in the cage or put on a pair of gloves to try it at least once. I think it tells you a lot about your person.
Even if not stepping in that cage, just go to a class.
Yeah.
Just learn what you can physically do when you actually learn these things, technique, and set your mind to it and get conditioned for it.
Yeah. And to build confidence in yourself, that I think maybe relaxes your mind a little bit more, instead of constantly like judging yourself. And you, like you said, just even step on in the gym and just put some gloves on and just hit the bag. Just building confidence in yourself goes so much further than I think people understand. That's my parrot. I'm sorry.
I was wondering, does she have like a really weird like phone tune?
That's my parrot. He's 18. I've had him since I was a little teenager. He goes everywhere I go. But just that experience of, yeah, becoming more confident. I wish everyone would just stop being scared and just do it. And that's what I tell everyone, just do it. And it's amazing to see where you go with it. And you, me, Evan, everyone that has something, they all have something positive to pull out of coming into the fight community, I believe.
I feel like you really discover how human you are when you get into a fight.
It makes you humble too.
Yes.
Everyone walking around thinking they can throw bows, and they walk around angry, and, you know, it's a competition. It makes you settle into a spot. It's like, it's not just me. It's not just about me. It's not just about, you know, my mind state. It's I don't need to fight every person or be angry at everyone. Like, it's not just you. And it really makes you feel, like you said, more human.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like everyone, I have a lot of people that tell me, you know, they go out and they have that attitude. Like, I wish somebody would start something. You know, I just want to, ace going on. But I feel like once you become a fighter and do that, you also realize, like, is this a war that's worth fighting? Is this war, like, worth getting hit over? If it's not, then I can just walk away from the situation. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, that's how I was, I'd say, about 4 years ago. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to not only do my aerial, I wanted to also get into fighting, because it's something I pushed off because I was becoming angry. And I didn't like that about myself. And I zoned in on it. I've always been really good with, you know, picking up on, you know, my personal habits as to what's working and what's not working for me. And I think fighting has definitely calmed me down. It's created less stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full on therapy. And yeah, I really hope, anyone listening to this ever thought about, can I do it? Yeah, you can.
Mm-hmm. It's very constructive.
You never know where you're going to go. I mean, I started a little bit older. You started younger. He started young. You guys, there's no limit to what you can do. And it's sad when you find out, like, damn, I could have been doing this the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's a really eye-opening experience. So, and I hope people like Evan and you and me and anyone that comes on the show or anyone that goes on any interview, I hope it, you know, brings a little bit of inspiration. So,
boy, when I came back, I was like 28 and I was telling my brother, I was like, I'm too old. Like, and then I come back and there's fighters in their 30s, there's fighters in their 40s. And it's just, and they're the ones I love to watch, because after you get older and older, you lose that give a shit part of your brain and they just go out there and they just give it.
You think you're old at 20. Whoever the hell is 20 that's listening to this damn show, you're one. You're a baby. I'm 34 and I know I'm probably going to look back at myself in my 40s. I'm like, ah, you're an asshole for
saying. Oh, I found some photos of when I first started fighting and I look like a baby.
Yeah, like, and people's prime really doesn't come around to 32, which I totally believe in. Yeah. So as much as you think, I'm too old for this crap, I can't try it. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And unless you're in a wheelchair and you can't move, which even then I'm still going to say move your ass and still do something. If you want to do it, you can do it, whatever you want. Yeah. I think there's no reason why you cannot try something. It's called
I feel like you really don't start aging until you just give up.
Yeah. Well, that and physical fitness makes you younger. It makes you more fit. It makes you, if you're happy and relieving those stress hormones, which is another other reason, which I try to relax by doing the fighting, was to relieve the stress that I did carry around on a day-to-day basis, that cortisol is going to age you. So guess why the people who are fit and more relaxed probably and not stressing out about day-to-day things, they're releasing that tension.
They're why do you say, like, instead of prescribing people Xanax, just give them, like, gym memberships?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish that would start being a thing.
Yeah. I can do that. We can start it.
We can start a movement.
Yeah. Gym memberships for everybody. You get a gym membership. You, not the club fitness, but you and you. Something where you can punch something.
Get a plan of fitness.
So, well, I think it's been a great show. I love that you're on. We didn't have any, well, I had
to. The whole time.
Yeah, my screen was frozen for a second, but at least it was on Evan's face.
I was like, somebody had a glitch and it wasn't me.
I don't know who it was, but. Thank you, everyone at home that joined us. I don't know if anyone's still listening. I know y'all were just here for Evan. It's okay. Won't hurt our feelings. Join us next week. We have more exciting fighters for you to come. 7:30 Central Time, 8:30 Eastern. We're super happy you joined us. Give us a like. Give us a follow. We are there for you. Answer or ask us any questions. And thank you for joining us. Thank you, Allie. Evan Elder for being on, the Phenom. Watch for him. So, any last words, Allie?
I.
Perfect. Hi, I'm Matt Seibel, producer of the Fight Mixer Show. We have a good lineup of guests coming up next week. Take a look for yourself.